Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Human Club. I'm Soph Mosca, the host of this podcast, and I'm feeling very discombobulated because I am in a little bit of a rush. I have to go leave because I'm going to get a Brazilian wax, well, Brazilian sugaring, my second one. I have to leave in like 20-ish minutes, and so I'm like in a rush because I want to record this podcast episode for you guys, and the rest of the week I have a bunch of work events, so this is like the day where I have to record it if I want to be able to have it up for you guys on Friday, and I'm dumb and I left it for last minute. My mic wasn't working, so I had to like figure that out, and then I just recorded like 5 minutes of the episode, and fully my camera was not recording, so that was really, really super awesome. Wait, did I say mic or camera? My camera wasn't recording for the video aspect. I don't know. I'm all discombobulated, so bear with me if I feel like very off. I don't know. Discombobulated is the best word. Like, even I'm vlogging today in the past 2 days. Like, I've been doing like a 2-part vlog, and I feel like I'm like not making sense. Like, I feel so scatterbrained. But welcome back to another episode. I'm excited to be filming this or recording this because you guys really, really loved the last advice hour I did. So we're going to be doing yet another advice hour. This one, you know, maybe like an advice half hour because it'll be a bit shorter than the last one, I think. But I went on Instagram and I asked you guys to send in things that you want advice on, and I'm going to be doing that today. So before we get into it though, go ahead and make sure that you're following me on all of my other social media. It's just at Soph Mosca on everything except Snapchat is SOPHERRR. And with all that being said, let's go right ahead. No funny business today. Let's jump into things that you guys need advice on. We're going to start with this one because I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary, which is, those of you that don't know, it'll be 2 years, April 29th, or was it 28th? I think 28th or 29th, I have to double check. It will be 2 years since I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and I think I would really love to do some sort of something for that. I still need to react to my very first post-diagnosis YouTube video. I really, really, really want to film that. I think doing that for my 2-year anniversary would be a really cute idea. So maybe I'll do that. Also, sorry, there's like people walking outside my window right now. Such bad timing. Anywho, just ignore me. But I felt like this question was perfect to answer because it is almost 2 years since I was diagnosed this month. And the question is, or the thing that they need advice on is how to not worry about my blood sugar 24/7. And I think I've talked about this like a fair share, especially over on YouTube, just really talking about like how to live alongside diabetes rather than letting diabetes control your life or like make your decisions for you. Because I think for the first year and a half, even after diagnosis, like every single thought, decision, life choice, to-do list that I made, like meal that I ate, every single thing that I did was determined by diabetes and what my blood sugars were, what I thought my blood sugars would do. Like, I would skip out on things because of my blood sugars. I would intentionally do things that were like so inconvenient because of my blood sugars, and really just like I was letting diabetes get in the way of my day-to-day life so much. And the thing about that is it should be in your day-to-day life kind of right at the forefront. because of the nature of it. It's not something that can be ignored. It's not something that should be pushed aside and like made unimportant. However, I think every single type 1 diabetic is more than aware of that. And I don't think any of us, even when, well, this isn't not speaking for everyone, but the majority of people who live with type 1 diabetes have the best control that they can have on it at possible at all times. Like, but with that being said, you can't always have these perfect blood sugars with perfect control. It's unrealistic. Would that be an amazing dream life because our prognosis would be so much greater? Of course. But we are human beings. We are not born to be a pancreas. And on top of being a normal human being, we are now also, without any choice in the matter, responsible for controlling our body's pancreas and doing important bodily functions manually. That is the most absurd concept. And we do it 24/7, 365 days a year, forever, from the time you're diagnosed on forever, the rest of your life. And the thing about that is it can be all-consuming if you let it. But something the past 6 months or so that I've really been trying to work on is not worrying about my blood sugars 24/7. And that's a very loaded question. Like, how do I not worry about it? Because it's like, you're right. How do you not worry about it? But
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think the most important thing is having trust in yourself and believing in yourself that you are doing the best that you can to take care of yourself at all times and reminding yourself of that. And that means, like, say you're going through like a breakup, or you're going through maybe like, maybe you're like failing a class and it's like really basically just like very, very high stress things. Your best blood sugar management at that point in time is going to be different than your blood sugar management when you're in a really good headspace and you've been at home, not traveling, eating your meals at home in a routine. Like, your best is going to be different, but regardless, you are giving your very best. A good example is like when I was in school, I was really, really bad at math, really, really good at English. And I was always, always, always trying my best in both English and math, but my best in math was nowhere near my best in English. I was pushing to get a C a lot of times in math, and it was hard for me to not get an A in English. But both of them I was putting my best effort in, but they were not equal. Do you understand the comparison that I'm trying to get at? Like, we cannot expect ourselves to be perfect with our blood sugar all the time. So having that belief in yourself, like, I know I am doing my best, even when you feel like technically you could be better at managing it, technically you could have tighter control, technically you could be making better choices. Are you doing your best with the headspace that you have, with the environment that you have, the resources that you have? Like, are you doing your very, very best? And I guarantee you are, because even when it's not your tip-top best 100%, it's the best you can give at all times. And with that belief, I guess that allows you to sort of maybe let go just a bit and be like, okay, I am doing the best I can. So if my blood sugar is a little crazy, we got some highs and lows going on in here, like, it is okay, because I know that right now this is the best I can give, and I know that eventually I will get back and I will be doing even better and it'll all be fine. And also, something I want to add And this is something that a type 1 diabetic friend of mine told me right after I was diagnosed. She said to me that perfect blood sugars are never worth more than a happy life. And that stuck with me forever and always. Like, that is always there in my mind because it is so true. Because when you are old and you're dying and you're looking back on life, you are not going to be like, thank God I never ate out with my friends and I had perfect blood sugars all the time. Like, really, thank God. No, you're going to look back on life and be like, oh, all those times with my friends, like all those taco nights and margs and all the nights where we went and got gelato, or the nights where I was like up late and my blood sugar was crazy. Like, oh, so many good memories. Like I was having so much fun. That's what you're going to look back on. And so letting something like blood sugar control you to the point where you are constantly worrying about it is going to do more harm to you than good. Like, there, I said it. Will an endocrinologist tell that to you? No, because of course it's their job to tell you perfect blood sugars as much as you can, like all the time, because this is the only way that you're going to be healthy and live a long life. And yes, there is some truth to that. But also, human to human, let go. Let go of the worry. Let go of the stress. It is what it is. Do your very best, whatever that means for you at all times. And I feel like just reminding yourself, like, I'm doing my best, I'm doing my best. That is all you can do. And I feel like for me, that's how I am able to not worry so much all the time about my blood sugar. Next one is, I feel like this is a very common question I get. And I feel like it's also one I've talked about a lot, but I get it so frequently and I've struggled with it so frequently that I feel like it's important to bring up. But this person wants advice on how to make friends in your mid-20s. So it can be a chore and a half to make friends in your 20s. That is 100% sure. I think the biggest thing and the best advice I've ever gotten too, and also just like through making friends in so many different new cities because I've moved a lot, the main thing for me personally is finding one friend and then branching off of them from there. So you make this one friend, right? And then, okay, but let's start there. How do you make that one friend? I think social media is a really, really great way to find friends. Comment on people's TikToks that live in your area. DM people on Instagram that live in your area. I also think dating apps are a really, really great place to make friends. Even like, I know on Hinge, like you can put that you're like looking for friends, you know? I think they also have like, yeah, they have like Bumble BFF. Like there's friend-specific friend-specific dating apps also, or like apps. But dating apps are a really good way to meet people because you're meeting people like you're seeing people in your city. So that's a really cool way to meet people. So say you now have that one friend. Or wait, also like say you're going to a workout class and you find like one girl that like you see her a lot and you guys, you like look like you have a lot in common. You think just by like first appearance, like judging a book by its cover, if you're outgoing enough, go up to her and like ask her to hang out sometime. I don't know if I'd be able to do that, but if you're like outgoing, that's probably a really cool way to meet people. I don't think I've personally ever really done that. But oh, actually I did one time in Tampa. I did. I asked a girl at a coffee shop to hang out. Anyways. So once you have that one friend, anytime that they are inviting you to go to something with them or hang out with another friend with them or anything like that, always say yes. Because that's how you're going to meet other people. So even like, say, okay, let me give you a really great example. Actually, I have a few great examples. But my most recent example is I met my friend Michaela that I have here in LA through social media, right? Because we had been mutuals for a while. And when I moved to LA, we decided to hang out. And through Michaela, I found out about this Pilates studio called the Pilates Cave, and Michaela invited me to go, and she was like, yeah, the owner's super cute. She just opened it. Like, she's only 22, and, like, she's really awesome. Like, you should come to a class with me. So I went to a class with Michaela, a Pilates class to Michaela, or with Michaela, and then Michaela and Sophie were getting lunch afterwards, and I joined them for lunch, and then, I mean, long story short, Sophie and Michaela are my two best friends here in LA, and now me and Michaela and Sophie have been like going out, and when we go out, we go with Sophie's friend group. So now I'm friends. Now I'm like starting to become friends with Sophie's friend group. And now I'm like starting to make this whole like network of friends that I literally only met simply because I met Michaela online. So it's just like you have to really like, it's a slow but sure process, but I think your goal should be finding that one person, that one friend that you have common interest in, or interests with, I should say. Like, you guys both like to do pottery, or you both like to work out, or you both like to go on walks, or you both like coffee, whatever it is. And then that can be like your thing. Like, you go, like me and Michaela used to walk together a lot. We always used to like walk and get matcha when we very, very, very first started hanging out. And that's like how our friendship kind of started. And then you build from there. So think of it like a network. Like, you make one friend, and through them you meet two people, and from them you meet four people, and from them you meet like eight people, and it just, you just double and double and double. And yeah, I think that's like the best way, because that's also sort of what I did in Tampa. Like, all my friends, I was just like either meeting through social media, or I was meeting them through other people. Like, I met Kelsey through social media, and I met like Rayleigh through a friend, you know what I mean? Like, it was like I created a network there as well. So I think that's the most foolproof way, I would say, to make friends in your 20s. Next one is how to get ready to date again after a bad breakup. So I think this is like a loaded question, or like a loaded piece of advice, because it's so different from person to person, as well as from breakup to breakup. Like, breakups I've experienced in my life have been drastically different, and especially like in how I heal from them, the time it takes me to heal from them, what helps me during the healing process. Like, it's been very different. Like, I've had very different experiences in different phases of life with different breakups. And so I think it's really important, first of all, to not feel like you have to date again if you don't feel ready, because I've had breakups in the past where it took me a long time to even play around with the idea of like maybe even beginning a new conversation with someone new. You know what I mean? But then I've had other breakups where, yeah, I felt like that at first, but kind of more quickly I was feeling ready to put myself out there again. And so I think that's first and foremost something important to know, is like, if you aren't feeling ready, like, you don't have to go on dates. But also an idea that I've personally been kind of like, I guess, realizing and like playing around with, is like, starting to date again doesn't mean you have to like get into a relationship again. Like, the idea of casual dating has always been kind of foreign to me. Like, I've never really been someone who would just like go on a date, like a one-time date, without really like, I don't know, like matching with someone on a dating app and then like they ask you on a date. Like, I've never really been someone to do it unless I was like thinking this person was like going to be my future girlfriend, you know? Like, I never really was much of a casual dater. I really only would like entertain the idea of someone if I like saw some sort of like potential or future with them. And that is a way to go about dating, for sure. But I think there's also a whole other, honestly, really fun side that you could explore, which is casual dating. And it almost sort of takes like the pressure or the like seriousness out of dating, and it kind of allows you to just have more fun with it and just make it not seem like such a big deal like within yourself. So like, if you are like, dang, I would really like to be putting myself out there a bit, but like, I don't know if I'm ready for a relationship per se, but like, I would love to go on dates. Like, you can do that. Like, if you get asked on a date, or if you ask someone on a date, like, you guys can go and get drinks and dinner. You guys can go and get coffee. You guys can hang out a few times. And that doesn't mean you ever have to actually date them. Like, you can just casually date someone. You don't have to put this like intense pressure and seriousness and like labeling on dating. You're allowed to just like go and explore. So I guess like, how to get ready to date again, if you are feeling like you want to, but you like are kind of unsure about the idea of like getting in a relationship, like, just go on some dates. Just if you think a person's cool, if you think they're pretty or handsome, whatever, you feel, and you're feeling social, like, go grab a drink with them, go grab coffee with them. Like, I've gone on like one-time dates where I ended up just becoming really great friends with that person because we go and like we have fun, whatever, but there's no like really intense vibe between us or whatever. Like, and we just become great friends, you know? And then that's a way to make friends in your 20s. No, but it really doesn't have to be so intense. Like, not looking at it as such like a, okay, I'm going back in the dating world, like time to get in a new relationship. Like, don't think of it like that. Like, think of it more like you're just gonna go have fun, meet new people, get out, have an excuse to dress cute. And honestly, a huge part of dating is like the reason why like a new crush and like a new relationship feels so good and like flirting feels so good is because you're like falling in love with yourself. Like you are doing things that like make you feel good in a weird way. And you are fully like you're flirting in a way that like makes you feel hot. And you're dressing in a way that makes you feel hot. And it's just like, I don't know, I feel like casually dating can actually end up being like a really self-explorative period in your life if you're able to look at it from less of like a relationship way and more of just like a lighthearted, like meeting new people, putting yourself out there type of way. Yeah. I feel like I can answer this one quickly because I'm like the furthest thing from this. And so I feel like maybe if I give you like a blunt answer, maybe this will like resonate with you. And I've also heard someone who suffers really bad from like procrastinating and has ADHD like diagnosed and everything. But this person wants advice on how to not procrastinate. And the friend of mine who has ADHD like diagnosed has said that this one statement has like really benefited them because it made them be like, wow, yeah, that's actually really true. Like it's so blatantly obvious, but it's so like it's just the truth and it's kind of like, oh. But like when people ask me like how do I not procrastinate or like how are you not a procrastinator? You just like if you think about it, like once you do whatever you're procrastinating, like it's literally done. Like it's literally done. If you have a basket of laundry sitting upstairs, if you just go do it, it's literally done. And then you have nothing to procrastinate. And I know it sounds silly, and if you're a procrastinator, you're probably like, yeah, but the issue is like I can't go and like do that laundry. Like I hear you, but like you just need to, that's what you need to say to yourself. Like if I literally just go do it, it's done. Like it's literally done and I don't have to procrastinate anymore. Like once you do it, it's done. And just remind yourself of that because like you're just giving yourself so much stress and anxiety. And I know you know this, like I'm sure I'm like get saying the same advice everyone's and like literally everyone has ever given you, but seriously, if you have a task that you're procrastinating, just remind yourself as soon as you do it, you will no longer have to procrastinate it. And maybe even just the thought of that will help you kind of like snap out of it. Okay, this next one is they want advice on being jealous of other people's living location, even though I have an amazing house. I liked this one because I think this is something that a lot of us, do. You know, like the grass is always greener saying is there for a reason. I think we are constantly comparing ourselves to others and we're like what we have is never good enough for ourselves. So I think there's a couple things here that can maybe help you not fall into this jealousy. First and foremost, you guys know I've said this before, but jealousy is a green emotion. It's gross. It feels disgusting. It weighs on you. It does not make you feel good. It also does not make anyone else feel good. It is a completely unproductive emotion. Jealousy is a very yucky, disgusting, slimy feeling for everyone and anyone involved. So remember that when you start to feel jealousy, it is the most unproductive feeling and emotion for yourself. It gets you nowhere. It does not push you towards goals. It does not, you know, bring you closer to what you're jealous of. It just makes you icky. It makes you yucky. Like, there is nothing uglier than a jealous person. An envious person is an ugly person because you are spending so much time. It's almost like when you are jealous of someone, it's almost like an indirect, like you are indirectly hating them in a way. Like, I don't know how, like, no, you're not like, I hate that person because they have that amazing house. And you are kind of like being a hater towards yourself. But at the same time, like when you are jealous of someone else, like you're almost sort of like, you have tendency of like than hating on them. Does that make sense? Like, you're not, like, I don't know how, you know how people are, like, mean to other people when they're jealous of them? That's, like, what I'm trying to get at. Like, that's so icky. So think about it, like, for yourself. Like, if you are jealous of other people, you're going to be so mean to yourself, which is so yucky. Like, no one wants to feel that way. And again, like, just because you're jealous of someone else's house does not mean you're going to get it. It's so unproductive. It's going to do nothing for you except make you feel like shit. So I think, like, thinking about it like that, you know, like, you don't want to feel that way. It's not going to help you get what you are jealous of. But then also, I feel like that's, like, a lesson in, like, presence and being, like, grateful. Especially, like, you know, the saying, like, money doesn't buy happiness. Like, there's so much truth to that. And the people, I swear, the people with the biggest houses and the nicest houses and the best things and whatever are the loneliest people. I really find that to often be true. And you, like, the value you will get as a human being, like, the core satisfaction and the core, like, fulfillment that you will get is going to come from things that aren't tangible. Like, it's going to be through friendship. It's going to be through experiences. It's going to be through love. It's never going to be through objects or houses or things of, like, location. It's never just, it's just simply, you are never going to be as a human fulfilled through things like that. At least not the majority of us. I'm sure there are people out there who do find great fulfillment through things and how, like, houses and locations and whatever. But genuinely, at the end of the day, like, the only thing that's going to genuinely fulfill you, in my humble opinion, is relationship, friendship, just love, experience, life, memories. All of that is what is going to fill your cup. So maybe someone has a beautiful house, but maybe you have a really beautiful friendship that they would be jealous of. Maybe you have a really beautiful relationship, but they have a really big house and a really cool location, but you have the most healthy, loving relationship ever that they would kill for. So just reminding yourself of that too, I think, would really help. Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and end there. I know this is, like, a very, very short episode, so I'm just going to make, like, it's just going to be a mini episode, like a mini advice hour, advice half hour. It is a half hour. But I love you guys so much. I really hope that you enjoyed. I'll do a part two of this soon. How about that? Because I know that this is really short, but I'm in a rush and I wanted to give this up for you guys. I didn't want to miss a week, but I love you all so much. Thank you so much for watching and listening to today's episode. And I will talk to you guys so super soon in the next one. Bye.